Morning. How are you doing today? Good to see you here. I'm glad that I had the opportunity to talk to you today. As you remember, the Bible reading today is a well-known text found in Matthew 5. It's also known as the Sermon on the Mount. Remember that? It's very well-known. People know it. And it's a continued repetition of the many things that will make Christian's life worth to live. The word blessed is repeated pretty much during the whole chapter. And I want to talk about seven blessings that you find in the book of Revelation. Now, I get to discover these blessings through the book of Pastor Stefanovic. He's a professor in Andrews University. And 2 or 3 years ago, I had the blessing to have a class in Revelation. So normally I had high respect for the book, but it's challenging in occasions, especially when the symbols and the different historical data and things like that, it make it challenging. But it was a good blessing, learning new things about Revelation and new things that God have prepared for you. Now, probably you had found these seven blessings in Revelation, but I want to study with you this morning about this. The first thing that I want to mention is that the number seven is used in Revelations a lot. Have you noticed that? And the seven churches, the seven plagues, the seven trumpets. And it's used and often as a symbol of completion, symbol of God, divinity. For us, for instance, the 7 days is really important, right? So some people have suggested that the numbers in the Bible have some implications. And number seven, again, it's the number of divinity, number of perfection. I don't know why they are seven. You know, normally it can be like 10 or more blessings, but it's only seven that you will find in Revelation. So this is something that is not made on purpose. So please open your Bibles in the book of Revelation. Go up to chapter 1. Let's start right there. Revelation 1 and verse 3. The Bible says this. And I have two versions here, so let me start with this version. Blessed is that read it, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And I had another more contemporary version who said, if you read this prophecy aloud to the church, you will receive a special blessing from the Lord. Those who listen to it will be enriched, and those who say the things we also bless. For the time is near, and when these things are coming to pass, or they are coming through. So that's the first blessing right there. And the first blessing implies two things, right? One, to read, and the second is what? To listen, right? And probably you know, but Bibles, they weren't common in the first century. When Bibles become really common, in what time? At what year, you remember? A little earlier than 1700s. Very good, after the printing period, 1600s. Before that, people didn't have Bibles. So in few churches, they have a copy of the Bible, and worship was a little different than what we have today. In a lot of cases, what worship was is somebody standing there in the congregation and do the reading of the scripture. And can you imagine at the beginning of the Christian church, they didn't have the New Testament at the time. So probably what they read at the time was the Old Testament. It's very similar to what the Jewish people do today. If you go to a synagogue on Saturdays, what they do is have the scroll of the scripture, the Torah, or one of the prophets, or one of the Psalms, and somebody stand there and do their reading, and then do an explanation that what just has been read. So for the people who was at church, listening is an important element. Have you noticed that in occasions we don't pay attention when somebody's talking to us? Have you noticed that? That somehow we kind of like block our ears and we only get the mumble sound, but we are not really understanding what the people is saying to us. So what God is saying here in the first blessing is this. If you really pay attention to what the Bible and what the Revelation is saying to you, you will have a special blessing that will make your life better. And I call this blessing a promises of guidance. Why a promises of guidance? Because what Revelation does is simply telling you what the things in the future will happen, right? So it's kind of like giving you a preview of what is coming to this planet and what is coming to human beings. And why is a special blessing for the one who read? Well, the one who read is pretty much, in our terms today, the one who's preaching, right? So for me, it's a blessing to talk to you about these things, but it's also a blessing for you if you pay attention to what the message says. Now, keep in mind that the Bible text that we just read have also like a special mention of the word keep. What exactly the word keep really convey here? Well, the Bible is trying to say it is important that you read, it is important that you listen, but if you don't practice, that doesn't help a lot, right? So, for the ones who used to be connected with the Jewish faith, they knew that every single time that the Bible say, hear me, or hear, the next word is action, meaning obey. The one who hears is the one who obeys. If you don't obey, you didn't hear. In Deuteronomy 6:4, you find pretty much the Senate of the Jewish faith. And let me read it to you. Probably you know this, right? The Bible says here that, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And that's a simple short verse right there. So what is the scripture saying here for you, the believer, in the year 2013? It is good that you read the Bible. It's good that you study the Bible. But it's more important when you practice what the Bible says. Amen? Why is it important to practice these things? Why we need to practice these things? What is the reason? Well, the test to give you an idea, right? The time is what? It's near. The time is at hand. And you will probably see, think like this way, Pastor, you know, things have been bad forever, people is changing, and things are, you know, changing. How do you know that the time is near? How do you know that the time is near now? Well, the Bible prediction, but also social issues, changes in nature. Exactly, things that you are paying attention. Do people should be afraid of these things? Well, it depends on what side you are. You know, if you are with God, then you shouldn't be afraid. But if you are in the other side, then you should be a little concerned. What is coming is really terrible. The second blessing in Revelation is found in the book. Go to chapter 14, and let's read verse 13. Revelation 14 and verse 13. I know your mind, there are seven. We had only the first one, so bear with me. We'll be finished. Don't worry. Revelation 14:13. What is the scripture saying here? Again, you find the word blessed. Then I hear the voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, say the Spirit, that they will maybe rest from their labors, but their words will follow them. So, it's a very interesting sentence here, right? Why somebody will be blessed if you die? Do you think that is like a contradiction right there, right? It will just say, blessed are the ones who are still alive, you know? But the Bible is emphasizing dying in what? In the Lord, which makes a huge difference, right? Now, when you read this particular verse, you find that this verse is in Revelation 14, after God is proclaiming the destruction of Babylon, pretty much the last message, the third angel message, which Babylon will be destroyed, and the people who worship the beast and the people who receive the mark will be punished. But if you die in the Lord during these difficult times, then you will have a blessing. Now, you probably know this better than me, that during Christianity, many people have been killed by their faith, right? In fact, yesterday we were studying about the great controversy, and one of the reasons persecution stopped is because the enemy changed his strategy. Now, instead of persecuting the church, he started destroying the church from inside out, right? Planting false members, making the church compromise their beliefs with falsehood, and the church started being destroyed this way. But here, it's saying that if we remain faithful, even to death, then we will have a special blessing. The context of this, you will also find it in Revelation 12:11. If you want to read this with me, Revelation 12 and verse 11, the Bible says this: "And they overcome him," speaking of the devil, "they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony, and they did not love their lives to death." So people can today survive if you are willing to put God in the first place, if you are willing to give up everything for God. What is the reason that the church is not persecuted today? What do you think is the reason? Well, the reason is because they don't know the difference between us and the rest. Do you remember that the church this year had been emphasizing in a revival? How you hear that this year especially has been repeated often in the different magazines and different preachings, revival and revival. What revival brings is persecution. Why? Because when the church is really connected with God, the people from outside will notice that you are different. But when they don't notice, it's because you behave like everybody else. And that's the truth. But if you start behaving odd, if you start behaving different, I can assure you, you will start having some heat from members in church and from people from outside. You know, because persecution is promised to us, these people who want to lead faithfully to God. Now, here in Revelation is saying this: this is a promise of assurance of salvation. Why? Because death is not the end for the Christian. Death is just the beginning of the new life. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55 to 58, we have something that is really poetic in reference to resurrection. If you want, we can read it together. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 55 through 58. If you had chance, read this chapter at home. I assure you it will be a great blessing. It's a beautiful chapter in the Scripture. Here the Bible says this: "O dead, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of the dead is sin, and the strengthening of sin is the law. But thanks to our God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in work for the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So it is important that we keep in mind that when we are working for God, your job, your work will have some fruits, and we will see this eventually in eternity, right? When you are trying to help someone. We cannot measure this, but I assure you, people is listening, people is searching for God, and we don't completely understand how this happened, but God is working through different ways. Today, I will assure you that God is willing to help us all to have eternal life. The third blessing that you find in Revelation, you find it in chapter 16. In chapter 16, it's talking about the plagues in Revelation. And in the middle of the plagues, you find this particular blessing. Here in verse 15, say this: "Behold, I come in as a thief. Blessed is he who washes and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Now, you remember that 2 weeks ago we were speaking about the church in Laodicea. You remember that? And one of the characteristics of the church in Laodicea, number one, they are blind. They are oblivious of the circumstances. Number two, they are poor, they are wretched, they are miserable. And finally, they say, you are what? Naked. So when you find the word or the expression naked in Revelation, you need to associate this with compromise. When a church is compromised, then the Bible describes you or describes me as being what? Being naked. Because nobody wants others to see you naked, right? We discussed that like 2 weeks ago. In the Mishnah, which is the commentaries of the Old Testament, they tell a story that's quite interesting. You know, at the temple, they used to have like a police who guards, you know, to protect people entering and doing bad things at the temple. But in charge of the police, they have somebody like the captain, and they say that this person used to go around during the night shifts to see if somebody was fall asleep. And if they found you, you know, you will fall asleep during your duty, they will take your clothes and burn them in front of everybody, and they will send you walk naked home, you know, because you will found asleep. That was very shameful. That was something that you don't want it to happen to you. meaning nobody wants to be naked in front of other people because that makes you weak, that makes you feel vulnerable. Now, I remember a few years ago, we used to go with some friends to a river in our city, and one of the rules is that we didn't have like these nice bathing suits, you know, that we kids use today. So everybody had to go in underwear, and you leave your shoes, you leave your pants and your t-shirt outside, but always paying attention, because it happens that other kids, they may, you know, practice on you, and they steal your clothes. And then when you get out of the river, you find there's no clothes in there. And my house was like probably like 2 kilometers, like 10 blocks away from the river. So walking the distance in underwear, it wasn't fun. So always keep an eye on washing your clothes. It's important that you wash your clothes. What is God trying to say here? Why we need to wash our clothes? What does he really mean? What is clothing represents in Revelation? Do you remember? The righteousness of Christ. You find that in Revelation 19, verse 8. You know, we need to get covered by his righteousness. Meaning, we need to pay attention to what? If somebody steals your clothing, you need to pay attention to what? To your salvation, right? It is important that you pay attention to your salvation. And notice this. This particular promise is found right there in the most difficult time in human history, right there when the plagues are coming down in earth. So meaning people is suffering from distress, hunger, wars, and plagues, and God is talking to you as a Christian and saying, you need to be watchful and be careful when you're salvation. Why? Because the times are what? Really, really difficult. And if you don't pay attention to what is surrounding you, it is possible that you can lose your salvation. Somebody take your place, right? So the blessing is say, blessed is the one who washes and keeps his garments, let him be walk and they see his shame. So we need to pay attention to that. I want to say that God is always providing for you. This to me is a blessing, it's a promise where God always provides for us. Do you remember when Adam and Eve, they commit their first sin? What was the first thing that they discovered? They were naked, right? So sin is kind of like connected with nakedness. And when God was talking to them, they did something to cover their bodies. You remember what it was? Some clothing made with leaves. And God provides something better for that. Do you remember? A skin of animals to cover their nakedness. So it seems that God is always providing. And then in the Hebrew mentality, God not only provides for your salvation, he also helps you to obtain this salvation. Christ is doing his justice, offering to us his justice. It's not something that we accomplish in our own, right? It's something that you receive from God. And it's important that we keep paying attention to this detail. Today, we have in our church a big danger, and it's when people want to do their own actions to obtain salvation. Remember that? We were talking this morning in Sabbath school about doing works and doing certain things because we think that we can obtain salvation through that way. But the Bible is saying God will provide for you. Please, let's go to the four promise here in Revelation. And this is a promise of company. You find this in Revelation 19:9. Revelation 19 is describing the Last Supper. Not the one that we celebrate here on earth, but it's the one that it will happen after the Lamb marry his bride. You remember, the bride is the church, right? So please open your Bibles in Revelation 19, and let's read verse 9. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true saints of God. So this blessing is kind of like a mix. It's composed by two sections. Number one, who are the ones calling to this particular dinner? Who are the ones who call to this particular? Okay, the people that accept the message from God and redemption and they are saved, correct? Now, I don't know about you, but I will tell you this. What you do when you go to a party, or why you go to a party in the first place? Well, you are invited, but if you don't know the people there, you will go? Well, maybe, you know, if you like to have like some free lunch, you probably will go. But the majority of the people, if you don't know anyone, you won't go, right? why we go to Paris. Socializing. We know somebody there and we want to enjoy what? Their company, right? Do you think that God cares about your company? That He will probably enjoy your company in this big meal, in this big festivity? I think so. I think that the fact that you are a unique human being, in the way that you behave and the way that you act, it make you unique in many ways. That means that you are irreplaceable at this party. No one else can fulfill your place at this festivity. God loves you in such a way that your presence brings joy to God. That doesn't mean that the festivity won't continue if you don't go. They will continue. But I'm pretty sure that God will be really happy to see you there. And the invitation is clear. He says, if you are invited to go to this wedding, then you will have the company of Jesus Christ. Please open your Bible in Matthew 8:11. This is on Jesus' words to the disciples. And He is expressing something interesting here. What is Matthew 8:11 saying here? Let me read it to you. And I say to you, many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob into the kingdom of heaven. So what Jesus is talking about here? Well, it's simple. Salvation is open to people from the whole world, right? Not only for the Jewish people, but for everybody now through His sacrifice at the cross. So you are invited to this party. You, God wants to have your presence there. And I will say something else. And to me, this is kind of like a tragedy. People don't realize that your presence in there is important. You know, in certain occasions when somebody invites you to, let's say, a wedding or to a very special occasion, it's better that you go because they will remember, right? It's not about the gift. It's not about the details. It's about you being there. Let's say that your brother or your sister is getting married and they plan ahead and they send you an invitation. And then you, at the end, get this cheesy excuse, oh, I'm sorry, I had to work and I didn't go. How that will make feel your family about you? They will remember, you know, like, oh, he ditched my wedding because he had to work. He didn't come and rejoice with us. I'm telling you, God had this big party prepared for you. He's excited. All the arrangements have been made. The only thing is just waiting for the right moment. And He expects to see you there. Amen? Amen? So it will be like a big spoiler if you don't go there. Because, again, your presence is unique. And He wants to enjoy your company. Please move your Bible one page. Go to Revelation 26. This is the five blessings that you find in Revelation. And this one had to do with resurrection. Pay attention to this one. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has a part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with Christ in him 1,000 years. So this is like a more complex blessing. Now, this blessing is saying this. And again, it's mentioned right there in the chapter that is speaking about resurrection. The Bible describes that it's two resurrections. You remember that, right? The first one is the one who the righteous people will have before going to heaven. And what is the second resurrection? The second resurrection is the destruction of the wicked, pretty much. And that's what the Bible describes. If you read Revelation 20, you will find that the second resurrection had to do with the destruction of evil. And Satan and his angels and his followers will be destroyed in this great lake of fire. That's pretty much. So we have two options here only, right? The first resurrection or the second what? The resurrection. The first one means that you are going where? Heaven. So happy for you. It's a good blessing right there. But if you wake up in the second one, bad news for you, my friend, right? You are getting toasted. That's what the Bible is saying here. So why is it important to get this fifth resurrection? And the message is clear right there. Number one, they will be priests, and they will be what? Kings. Why kings? Because they are governing with Christ, right? Now, you are mixing here two powers that normally they don't get well along. I mean, when they get mixed. One is the political power, and the other is what? The religious power, right? When you have someone who had complete religious power united with total political power, what will happen? It is bad for human beings, right? We don't know how to handle power. Kind of like get into our heads and we become evil. But the Bible is saying here that the people who go to heaven, they will be priests and they will be kings. Why? What they were doing in heaven? If you are like me, you were probably thinking like, people in heaven will be walking over these clouds. Maybe you're having like a harp and singing hymns all day. You know, very exciting things to do. And then this moment, 1,000 years doing the same thing. How excited you get about that? No good, right? Quite boring, honestly. That's what, not that we don't want to worship God or want to enjoy His company, but it's more than that. Heaven is an exciting time when you will find answers to questions that we didn't know before. God will explain you things. One of the things that God plans to explain to you is why some people didn't make it. Why they didn't obtain salvation. Do you think that God gives any human being a chance to know Him? So what it makes a difference? Why some people don't accept this invitation? Because the free choice, right? We want to do whatever we want to do in our lives. It is God's fault that we do that? No, it's your choice. That's part of your freedom. But what the Bible is saying here is that if you and I make it through this stage, we will be blessed. Why? Because we will be in the presence of the Lamb, in the presence of God. We will understand why many people sadly didn't accept salvation. You know that the priests in the Old Testament, they have these special garments, but they used to have something made in gold in their foreheads. Do you remember that? What it says, holy to what? To the Lord. That means your mind, your body, everything is consecrated to what? To God, right? And that's what God is expecting from you and from me. So this promise is a promise of judgment. And let me tell you, God will judge every human being. The only difference is that He is a righteous and He is a merciful judge. You know, a difference between us that we made the wrong judgment, He will do the right judgment. Please go to the sixth promise. You find this in Revelation 22. And this blessing is very similar to the first one. To me, it was trying to figure it out what God was trying to say to me. Revelation 22:7. What is the Bible saying here? Behold, I'm coming what? Blessed is the who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. You remember the first blessing was, blessed is the one who read, blessed is the one who listen, blessed is the one who keeps, right? But now here it's only keeping. It's no more reading, no more listening. Why? Think about that. What is the context of this blessing? Very good. Chapter 22 was describing life in heaven. It's not describing life in earth. So the context of this blessing is what will happen when you are already in heaven. You get it now? It's no more preaching. It's no more reading. Why? Because you're already there. What God is saying, you should be really happy because you obey this. And that's the reason that you are here now. Amen? You get it? So this is a special promise for us today that this is one of the things that is more difficult to me, the concept of time to grasp. Because for us, we are born, we get old, and then eventually we die. But can you imagine a life without getting old, without dying, where it's constantly youth? It's kind of like strange for us, right? You can't, no, that's not possible. But that's what the Bible is describing here. A life where everybody always be a youth. That you will have your maximum abilities. Your body will always be in good condition. And that God wants to give you that. Not only that, He is ready to remind you that He's coming quickly. When you read Thessalonians chapter 5, you find out that the second coming of the Lord is compared as a thief in the night. You remember that illustration? But the second coming of the Lord is like a thief in the night for the ones who don't know what? The prophecy, right? For the ones who know the prophecy, they know the details. It's no surprise. It's not like they are not expecting that. They know that it will happen. But the surprise is for the ones who don't know anything about the Bible. So, oh, look, now it's the second coming of the Lord. What Bible is saying here is, if we really keep what God is expecting us to do, He's faithful and He will reward you. And the second sentence here, to me, that was interesting. He, the one who's coming quickly, blesses the one who keeps the words of this prophecy of this book. So John was trying to make everybody certain that God will deliver in this promise. It's not like because God wants to play with you, He will be faithful and to deliver this to you. The final promise is found here in Revelation 22, and it's also in verse 14. Let's go read it together. And this is the final blessing. This is what the scriptures say. Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and they may enter through the gates into the city. I want to explain you something. I'm reading from my King James Version. But when you have, like, if you have the New International Version or any other version of the Bible, it doesn't say that, right? It says something different. What it says, blessed are the one who wash their what? Their robes. I would like to suggest that the second translation is better than the one who keep the commandments. And again, had to do with clothing, right? But now, here it's saying that God will provide a way to clean your clothes, right? And in Revelation, you find this connected with what? How people can make their lives cleaner. Accepting Christ, but more specifically, with what? With the blood of the Lamb. And you find that in Revelation over and over. They overcome because they had the blood of the Lamb. They are cleaner because they had the blood of the Lamb. They always connect that with Jesus somehow. So what the blessing is saying here is that now that you are in heaven, because you had cleaner clothes, and the reason that you had cleaner clothes is because the Lamb had given His life for you, and redeemed you, and had redeemed me, and have given us righteousness and other things. Now you have the right to two things, right? What are the two things that He gave us right? Number one is the tree of what? Tree of life. And according to Revelation, what is the importance of this tree? What is the big deal with this tree? Well, health, number one. And it's special for having eternal life. So now it's connected with that. Don't ask me the details. I'm not there yet. I'm just telling you how I capture different ideas from Revelation. And the second thing that the Bible mentioned here is, it will give you the right to enter where? The city. The city had gates, right? Think about this one. People in the Old Testament, in the previous old cities, they used to build walls because they want to protect their cities, right? Why the New Jerusalem had walls? Protection against what? And when that happened? When the New Jerusalem finally descends on earth, according to Revelation, the city will be under attack, right? The final attack. And God will destroy their enemies in front of, you know, on the whole city, meaning sin will be completely eliminated. The original sin, which is Satan and his angels, will be destroyed. And whoever wants to cling or follow Satan will be destroyed. But the ones who are inside the city, what will happen to them? They will be protected, right? How do you have the experience to visit another country? Any one of you? Mexico, Canada, other country. How do you feel when you go to another country? It's exciting, right? You notice some difference, good things and bad, what? Bad things. I tell you, if you go as a tourist, you will have like a good time, maybe at a hotel, spend some money, and then you want to come back home because this is your home, right? It's very rare that somebody who goes in tourism stay in another country. What is the point that I want trying to present here? That as long as you are outside your home, we don't feel comfortable, right? We have different things, we have different issues, but then you want to come back home. And God had a special place for you and for me. He wants to have your company. He will be sure that He will provide with the resources that we can make it there. He wants you to have eternal life. So Revelation is a book who contains a lot of promises to humanity. Why? Because the things that they will happen soon, they are no good. But it's not about the bad things that they will happen, because the promise is to remind you that God is able. That it doesn't matter what will happen over there outside, He's always with you. When you suffer pain, when you are suffering distress, when you are suffering anguish, and you feel like you are alone, that nobody cares for you, I want to remind you that God cares for you. That He's paying attention to you. And that maybe you don't hear or you don't feel He's there with you. You know, for a lot of people, it is important that we need to be reminded of these things. Because maybe something is happening in your life right now. You're missing someone. Maybe a lot of issues with work or maybe finances. I don't know. What I want to tell you is that God is faithful and He is willing to help us all. And hopefully, these seven blessings in Revelation will encourage you to continue studying the book of Revelation, right? Because His promises are faithful and He is willing to help us all. Dear God, in our present and in our church, we want to invite You to get close to us. Lord, we want to acknowledge that we made mistakes, but we want to cling today to Your promises, Your guidance, Your assurance, Your salvation. Help us, O Lord, to get close to You. In Jesus' name, amen.